I almost raised my hand so Sydney would bring the microphone to me. Someday, maybe in a sermon, I'll tell you about the time that a boss asked me to be held by the ankles and be lowered into a septic tank. And my choice and the consequence. Robin, you're right. This scripture text has been preached lots of different ways over the years, and one always wonders what to do with it. And it's multiple pieces, isn't it? We have a rich man coming to Jesus and kneeling down and asking, what must I do, interestingly, to inherit eternal life? Now, inheritance in the world of Jesus had to do with much of what it has to do now. That is, wills and testaments and family connections. So when this young rich person asked that question in that way, it's instructive for us. Part of it has to do with, what's your family connection? What family will you be a part of? And indeed, this scripture passage appears in Mark, and the same story appears in Matthew and twice in Luke. And in each time, it has something to do with how we will choose our alliances and our family connections. So I want us to be thinking about that. That's the first thing to understand. The second thing is that the twofold answer might not have been what everyone expected. The first was, obey the commandments, and some are listed. And you might have, just as the rich person, been thinking to yourself, well, you know, I obey most of those commandments. That's pretty good. I'm on track. What else? The second part of the answer surprised him and might surprise you. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Surely the questioner was surprised because he couldn't do it. Went away sad because he had so many possessions. And I think that's been the case for so many people for so long. In fact, many times when I've heard this preached, preachers have gone out of their way to make everybody in the room feel good by saying, now, of course, that's not for us. It was just for that particular rich young man on that particular day. So please don't worry. You're not being asked to give up anything. Except here's the thing about it. Other preachers on other days do expect us to follow the examples of all the other things the disciples are told to do. If someone's told not to commit adultery, we always say, well, that wasn't just for that person on that day, it's for all of us. If someone's told not to murder, we don't say it was just for that person on that day, it's for all of us. And I'm not sure why we do that, but I've got two guesses. One is, we ourselves never think that we're rich, so we figure, I'm not rich anyway, so how can I listen to what a rich man was told? The other one, of course, is, it's really hard to think about giving up money, isn't it? Really hard. And that's why I think Jesus was talking to all of us. You ever watch television shows or movies where a character sort of breaks that plane and turns to the camera and talks to you, right? I'm one of the first ones when I was a kid that I remember is Ferris Bueller, right? The character Ferris Bueller would just look at the camera and talk to us. It's a shock sometimes when it happens. I think when Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, that's what's happening. He's looking out of the book right at us and asking us to consider what that means. Well, I was reading this scripture passage a couple of weeks ago as I was traveling in England. And one of the questions that was vexing me as I was traveling from place to place in England was, how much does it cost to take my bags with me? And if I can pay that cost, will I be able to go where I want to go and have the bags I want to have? So the first thing is, of course, these days, airlines want to get your money every way they can. So they'll give you a low, low price, and that price is pretty much, right, if you pack yourself up into a little thing and you want to fly as baggage. And then they say, oh, you wanted a seat? Well, that's extra. Oh, you wanted to take a suitcase on a one-week trip? Well, that's extra. Oh, you thought you'd want water in the glass when we give it to you? Well, that's extra, right? On and on and on. Those baggage fees. And so a traveler has to think, if I want to go where I want to go, what can I afford to take with me? Can I afford financially to take several bags? Because most airlines now are charging baggage fees. And then, if I want to go hiking in the mountains, do I want to drag big bags with me? If I, like I did, want to rent a motorcycle and go riding around the English countryside, can I afford to have big bags with me? The answer is no. You can't take big bags with you on a motorcycle. So you start to think about how you're going to pack because of where you're going and how you're getting there. I want to suggest to us that one of the questions that this rich man and that each of us need to answer is, where are we going when we ask about this inheriting the reign of God? And how are we getting there? And Jesus begins to say to us, it's a particular kind of journey. And as you plan this journey, you have to think about what baggage you take along with you. Wealth, though it often seems like a blessing, it often seems like a useful tool, can also in some ways, on some journeys, be baggage. Imagine that you're that rich young man and Jesus said to you, well, you know, don't murder and don't commit adultery and don't defraud and all of those things. Also, let go of your wealth. Well, I need my wealth. I like my wealth. My wealth is useful. I worked hard to have it. Those are some arguments that might be made. What would it mean to begin to let it go? It means to consider where you're going and how you're going to get there. Jesus is inviting his disciples and us on a particular kind of journey, a journey that acknowledges the humanity of all other people, a journey that acknowledges the parenthood of God, from whom we will inherit this thing called eternal life, from whom we will inherit this thing called the reign of God, and a journey that leads us away, perhaps, from the path that we've been on. Now, if you don't have any bags, the airline baggage fees aren't a problem. You just get on and sit in your seat and go. If you don't have many suitcases, the question of, will I be able to get on the motorcycle or will I be able to walk down the path, is it an issue? You just get on and you go. But if you have those things, you've got some decisions to make. I think that's why Jesus says, it's hard. It's hard to enter God's reign when you're hanging on to things that you've attained in somebody else's reign, in our political realm, in our economic realm, where we're told day after day after day that you must have money, you need money, wealth is important, wealth is the thing. And the thing is this. Being wealthy becomes a vocation, a calling. Being wealthy means desiring wealth and working to get wealth and holding wealth and building wealth. Jesus says, I'm offering an alternate calling, and if you have wealth as you enter into this calling, you will have to make some very difficult decisions. As I've been saying this, two tapes have been playing in my head. The first tape is this. I don't know why I'm telling all of you there are no billionaires in this room. Why are we even talking about this today? Surely I'm not a billionaire or a millionaire. Why bother talking about this at all? The other tape says, hey, Jeff, remember where you've been in the last week and remember where you've been in the last 20 years. Compared to a lot of people that you encounter in life, you are very, very wealthy. If you have a safe place to sleep tonight, you're ahead of millions of people around the globe. If you've already eaten today, you're ahead of perhaps billions of people around the globe. If your water is safe to drink, you're ahead of billions of people around the globe. Wealth is something that we need to consider. So is it impossible? Is it impossible to have things and still follow Jesus? Well, it's pretty darn hard, Jesus says. It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle. Has anyone ever seen a camel? You ever seen one up close? They're kind of big, huh? Anybody ever seen a needle up close? Kind of small, huh? So in the Middle Ages, there was this little gate in Jerusalem, and it was kind of a low gate, and it was one of those deals where, and to get your packed camel through the gate, you had to like get off the camel, and the camel had to get down and shimmy through and everything. And they started calling this gate the Eye of the Needle. Well, because they knew the saying, right? Well, here's what happened. By the time of the 20th century, I get to high school, and my English teacher says, oh, and by the way, that thing in the Bible about the camel and the eye of the needle, that's BS. Jesus didn't really mean that, because when Jesus was a little kid, there was this gate in Jerusalem, and it had this small entry and blah, blah, blah. What happens? We always try to make excuses to make it sound like Jesus wasn't really serious. Some folks even say, well, the word for camel and the word for rope look a lot like each other. What he really meant was it'd be hard to thread a needle with a rope. Camel. Needle. And it is hard, isn't it? Even if you're not a billionaire, when you accumulate some wealth and you work for it, and you know that wealth can in some ways equal some kinds of security in the world, it's hard to let it go, isn't it? Jesus seems to be saying to the disciples, he seems to be saying to us, I'm calling you on a way of life that puts God first and honors all other people. And that means you're going to have to change your relationship with the baggage that is your wealth. You're going to have to learn to let go in different ways. And that might be difficult. It might be really difficult. Like getting a camel through the eye of a needle. Now, of course, the disciples went crazy when they heard that. They thought, oh, who can be saved then? If it's that difficult, who can be saved? It sounded like a miserable and impossible project to them. Before we go on to my last point, I want to just ask you to consider some of the miserable and impossible projects that can happen if people are properly motivated. Think about the ridiculous notion that somebody once had that we could create a machine that can fly in the air around the world. Just think about that. Think of all of the ludicrous ideas in the world, and a flying machine is one of them. And then think about all of the steps that had to be put together to make something like that happen. I mean, just even the metallurgy. Never mind the physics. Think about all of the issues that had the chemistry. Think about the organization. Think about sending a human being to the moon. Ridiculous things that require multiple steps and a certain kind of commitment. When people are motivated in a certain way that matters to them, things can be done. Bridges can be built in places where there would never be bridges. Engineering feats. Pyramids can be built in places where there are no pyramids. If people are motivated in one way or another, things can happen. Now, Jesus asks, is it possible to do those things not motivated by wealth and not manipulating and oppressing and exploiting other human beings? That's tough. That's camel and eye of needle. Tough. Who can do that? Well, Jesus offers this assurance, and I'm going to walk over, I'm going to read it out of the Bible, because I think that our Bible's wrong. I'll be right back. Oh, rich man, blah, 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 blah. Ooh, Jesus looked how hard, someone rich who can be saved. It's wrong. Jesus looked at them, this is verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. I'm disappointed. That's not a bad verse, because it lets us off the hook. Right? It would be impossible for us, but for God, it's not impossible. So if we want to make sure that we can keep our wealth and inherit eternal life, God can take care of it. For God, all things are possible. Here's the rub. This week, I read the Greek manuscript. I know, I should never do it. Here's what it says in the Greek, very clearly. With or alongside of mortals, it's not possible. But with or alongside of God, all things are possible. The Greek word with is para. We have paramedics, they work alongside physicians. And it's with, and this will be important to you, I know, it's with a noun in the dative case, which means when para takes the dative, it's always with or alongside of. It can't ever be for in the Greek language. Here's my point. Jesus was saying this. If you work and walk with God, it's possible, even with wealth, to make the kinds of life decisions that are necessary to be a faithful human being. If you walk alongside and work with humanity, it's not going to happen. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because out there, working alongside mortals, money talks. And there are a million excuses for not letting go of the baggage of my wealth. And you know that. You know that. I can't tell you how many times I encounter people and they tell me this. Well, if I were rich, I'd be generous. When I get rich, I will be generous. Here's the thing. If you're going to be generous, you're going to be generous. You'll be generous with what you have now. And as resources enter into your life, if you work with God, para, you will continue to be generous. I think I told you a story once of a Presbyterian minister who had this parishioner, and he started out as a young parishioner and a young minister, and they were in the same church together for the 10 years after the parishioner completed college. And this young parishioner always tithed. Always tithed. Every year of college, every year of graduate school, first years of marriage, and then stopped. The pastor called the parishioner in and said, hey, you always talked about how important it was to tithe, and then you got this incredible new job as a physician, and you stopped tithing. What happened? The physician looked at the pastor and said, well, pastor, that's a lot of money. It was the same 10%, right? But now that 10% was bigger. Now that wealth looked more important. I think that that baggage became so important, and it does for all of us. So here's what I'd like to suggest. I'd like to suggest that as you think about what does it mean to inherit eternal life, what does it mean to walk with Jesus, that you consider the wealth in your own lives. And it comes in different ways, doesn't it? Some of it's actual cash or salary. Some of it's an asset of a home. Some of it's clothing, some of it's stocks and bonds or transportation. Some of it is your own ability to give of yourself. It's friendships. It's goodwill. Consider what it would mean to live understanding that all of that wealth is blessings to share with others. What would it mean to share that with other people and have not the accumulation of wealth be our calling, but the living as children of a loving God and the calling of eternal life, life of the ages, it says in the Greek, to be our calling? What would it mean to let go of the baggage of that constant struggle to accumulate more and more and more, and to endeavor in some way to let that be a part of our own livelihood? You may find that in some ways you're already doing it. When money and resources come into your life, you ask yourself, how will I continue to use them as a faithful person? And you might find some places where you're not quite doing it, where when you get a new resource, all you can think of is, that's mine. Just like that camel and that needle, there's some really hard decisions to make. And again, I think Jesus used that example because folks who don't have anything don't have to think about what they'll give up when they count on and trust in God. Folks who start to accumulate more and more things now have to consider, what do I have to let go of to walk this journey? What do I have to hold on to loosely in order that I might move forward? This passage is for us. It's not just for some rich person somewhere whose name we do or don't know, but it speaks to us here, now, today. Where are you going? How are you going to get there? With God, all things are possible. Amen.